This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to Redacted on this Tuesday evening. Testicle Tuesday or Taco Tuesday, depending on where you live. Welcome to the show. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. We did not have testicle tacos for dinner.
No, we didn't have I know they have them sometimes in Montana. You can get testicle tacos. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. But we've got a jam-packed show for you on this Tuesday. We are awaiting whether or not Vladimir Putin is about to speak or whether or not he just went to bed. So all eyes were on Moscow as reporters around the Kremlin were sort of scrambling last minute because of an address that Vladimir Putin was set to give about something major, a couple of major pieces were set to be talked about this afternoon. It appears, according to some sources, that it has been delayed, that it's going to unfold tomorrow, that Vladimir Putin will speak. But we have a lot to unpack with this because there's a lot of moving pieces. We have the response from the U.S. State Department on what the president plans to do, the president of Russia. So there's a lot of moving pieces tonight.
Well, the West is responding to it before we've even seen it.
Right.
So at this point, we at least have the West's response. So we're going to discuss that.
Yeah, and we know what's happening in eastern Ukraine, and there's large amounts of troop movements at this hour. So we will unpack a lot of these pieces on the show. We're also going to talk about climate. Yes,
we're going to talk about climate lockdowns, whether or not that is the new COVID lockdown. Is that the cool thing to do? Whether or not it works, what the government wants from you, and the data around that. And we're going to talk about censorship battle over social media, because a judge now says that some people in the U.S. can litigate if they are censored on social media. Is that you? What can you get for it? Will this create a change?
We thought this battle was lost, right? I mean, the idea that you could actually fight back if you were banned on YouTube, if you were banned on Twitter, if you were blocked on Facebook, whatever it was, because of your posting messages, sharing news pieces, all of that. Now it seems like this battle is back on again. So this could it be a big win for free speech purists? We'll talk about that. Also going to look at there's a lot of mysterious blood clots that are showing up in autopsies, and embalmers around the world are noticing this. This is happening at funeral directors are coming forward and talking about this. I wonder what it could be. We'll discuss that and
curious
George on this Testicle Tuesday. Redacted starts right now. Welcome.
Hang on a second. Let me just move the microphone.
No, don't move anyway. Welcome into the show, everybody.
Somebody mentioned the cut of my dress and I feel self-conscious. So hang on.
Okay. Come on. No,
We're good.
We're good. Let's go. All right.
There's someone in the comments.
We're unredacting things. We're unredacting.
We don't redact things on this show. We don't put up we don't censor things on this show. Wear your dress if you've got them, for crying out loud.
I don't normally respond to comments like that, but someone's in milkers. I have. have nursed three babies, so.
Pull it together.
You guys.
At first, I thought they were talking about me.
All right. Okay, let's keep it clean, guys.
You gonna milk me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep it clean.
Yes, that person says, oh, it was me. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Redacted. Hey, we're a great community here. So if you're new to the show, we are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you for joining us. We cover the stories you're not likely to see in the mainstream media. We try to cut through the bullshit, give you the straight scoop, and we seek the truth. So we follow the facts wherever they go. And that we're going to look at the facts tonight regarding this Putin speech tonight. I know stuff, and David and Philip, we all, and Natalie knows stuff from a television perspective and a production perspective on what it means to pull together speeches and get cameras and everything. So what's going on at the Kremlin? We'll talk about that, and we're going to try to give you the straight scoop on all of that. But we have a daily newsletter that we'd love for you to subscribe to. It's totally free. If you go to redacted.inc, it's not .com, it's .inc, redacted.inc. Click on the subscribe button right there on your screen. And when you click on that subscribe button, you'll be taken to a welcome page and just put in your email address and make sure that you are added to, just drag it over to your VIP list or your contacts, because you'll get a welcome email from me. Again, so go to redacted.inc and sign up for the old newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning.
Now, it may be that tomorrow we get a broadcast of whatever the Putin speech was supposed to be, because we had word that it would happen tonight. It's fairly late in Moscow, so we don't think the speech will be run, but maybe we'll have it for you tomorrow. Yet another reason to subscribe, because you would see it in your inbox before we get here to the show to talk about it.
That's right. That's right. So make sure you're subscribed. Redacted.inc. All right, let's talk about the top story, which, you know, kind of blew up our show late this afternoon when reporters started scrambling to get to the Kremlin because there was apparently going to be a big speech from Russian President Vladimir Putin. A number of moving pieces on this. The Putin was supposed to be speaking, it seems, according to reports, about the breakaway republics, Donetsk, Luhansk, in the People's Republic of, the Donetsk People's Republic, Luhansk People's Republic, in eastern Ukraine, as they are moving forward with independence votes in the next few days. There's a lot of questions about that. But it looks like this national address is delayed until tomorrow, according to the president's former advisor. So this just posted a few moments ago. Sergei Markov, a Russian political scientist who is a close former advisor to Putin, says the president's national address has been delayed until tomorrow. He announced that news on his Telegram channel, and then it was confirmed separately by RT, who simply wrote, "Go to sleep." So this was interesting. He was going to talk about these referendums, talk about, and he probably will tomorrow. So again, why this? I want to know about the delay.
Yes.
Because everyone was all waiting for the speech. And then I started looking at the clock. And in the United States, if the president is going to speak and address the nation, you usually do it during prime time, meaning right, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, I don't know about Russia. If anyone's watching us from Russia, do people stay up much, much later there? Like in Spain, where they eat dinner at 11 p.m.? Maybe like a national address starts at midnight, like it would in Spain or something. But in the United States, it's usually 8 o'clock, 8:30
yes,
at night. Sometimes I think the State of the Union address would start around 9 p.m. or 8:30, 9 p.m.
Right.
For the president to speak. So I was looking at the clock thinking, okay, it's getting late. It's getting late, getting late. And then now we get this delay. So does that, and now, of course, Western media is all over this. Sky News is saying this is evidence that there's total panic inside of the Kremlin, that they are in panic mode. They don't know what they're doing. It's a total collapse at the Kremlin this hour.
Right. There must be some tactical reason, right? Because some reports are that it was already recorded. So we just don't know. Now, what we know is a speculation about what the speech would be about. We believe that it was going to lay the foundation for a much bigger war than just the conflict that is happening in Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can see that. Like, listen to what they say, but watch what they do, right? That's something we say on the show all the time. Watch what they do. And we are seeing major troop movements tonight. we are seeing huge buildup. We're seeing a movement of, first of all, we're seeing a number of submarines moving out of the Black Sea from the Russian forces. We're seeing the paratrooper division from Syria being relocated out of Syria back to Ukraine and into the front lines. We are also seeing massive rail movements, according to reports just a few moments ago, from Kiev. So Ukraine building up their reserve forces on trains and heading to Kharkiv. So major buildup. What's unfolding? We don't know at this hour. Of course, we don't have, you know, it's dark now, so we don't exactly know what's unfolding. But we do know that all eyes are on a major military advancement from the Russian side into this region.
Right. In fact, by some speculation, they may be looking to heavily increase the 200,000 troop force that is there now. I didn't realize that they had had this kind of success with just 200,000 troops. That seems like a small number for what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the Western media, it's been a total failure. By the way, so this is how the Western media, can we play this, Philip? This is Western media's take this afternoon. So as we got reports of this speech unfolding and the president to talk about the referendum votes, this is the Western media's take on, I just want you to listen how this news anchor from ABC sets up this story and talks about Russia's attack on Ukraine as being a total failure. Listen.
The Kremlin has made a series of dramatic announcements in response to its failing special military operation in Ukraine. Russia says it will hold referendum votes in occupied Ukrainian territory to officially recognize the areas as Russian. Foreign correspondent Tom Sufi Burridge joining me now live from Kharkiv, Ukraine. Tom, how significant is this announcement, and how could it affect the fighting?
This is a dramatic series of steps taken by the Kremlin, Deirdre. Let's deal with them one by one. Firstly, this idea that there'll be these referendums in parts of Ukraine occupied by the Russians right now. So
the way she sets that up is that it's been a total failure.
Right. And he says this idea that, right? This idea has been a concern of Ukrainian politicians for almost three decades.
Right.
So this idea that just popped up, right? By many accounts, Ukrainian politicians have been afraid of this since the early 90s. And it's their worst nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just that's how the Western media does it. Like, oh, it's just an idea. Hey, it was this afternoon. By the way, watch our show from last night where we went through point by point by point talking about the massacre and genocide in Donbass for the last 8 years. Point by point, and I went through it over and over and over again. And so this wasn't just some random idea that popped into their head, right? So this idea that they are going to hold referendum votes to become part of the Russian Federation, that's the idea, right? That Donetsk, Luhansk, and even the Zaporizhia region this afternoon, we got word as well. And Philip, you want to show that? So we got some additional bombing. Zaporizhia vote, let's show that one here. So there's the power plants there that we're seeing. These are the nuclear power plants, the largest in Europe. And now we got word the Ukraine Zaporizhia region is going to bid to join Russia as well. This will be part of it. And again, this comes on a day when this afternoon we saw additional shelling of the nuclear power plant. And of course, one of the big concerns is the water source. Images show damage to pipes of the cooling system at Zaporizhia this afternoon. This is in South Ukraine. This is a result of Ukrainian shelling. And of course, as we had George Eliason on the show, we featured his sound a few months ago where he talked about the major concern, not necessarily the nuclear fallout, although that would be catastrophic. It's the contaminated water, the radiated contaminated water, which would be the absolute most devastating thing for the people around the plant. So now we've got these word from Donbass, the republics revealing the date to vote on to join Russia, which will be from 23rd of September to the 27th of September. This is according to the LPR and DPR leaders. It was kind of funny to watch the Western response to this afternoon. So these votes, right, these...
As if they're being forced to vote. Now, if you follow your history at all, you know that this region was dragged kicking and screaming into the Ukrainian nation. They did not want it. It was a bloody fight against it. And since they've been a part of it, they've been persecuted. And so the Western media is treating them like, oh my gosh, they're going to have to pretend that they don't want to be part of Ukraine. Many of them don't, right? It's not for the Western media to tell them what they want.
Right. But the Western media's response has been hilarious to this afternoon. They all fell in line with this vote, this phrasing. They were calling them sham elections, sham. Like, it came from somewhere. I wonder where it came from. Came right from the White House or White House talking points, and then the Western media started parroting it. You can see it all over social media today using this word sham, but it started here with Jake Sullivan.
It is in this context that President Putin appears to be on the brink of pursuing two actions. First, as we've been warning for months, Russia appears to be proceeding with plans to hold sham referenda in areas of Ukraine under its control, and even in areas of Ukraine not currently under its control.
So I just want to put a pin in that for a second. Like, sham, how do you know? Like, what sham, just because they're going to hold a vote to become independent or to join Russia? Like, why
does the United States condone some places to claim their sovereignty, such as Kosovo? But Donetsk does not get that.
And by the way, America is being held up as the arbiter of honest and fair elections.
Right.
Like, really? Like, we get to tell other people, like, yeah, okay, I love the hypocrisy there. Like, we get to stand and say that kind of a thing. Okay, sure we do. How many elections have we gone through now where we've had all sorts of questionable concerns, right? Look at 2000, George W. Bush and Al Gore, for crying out loud. Just look at what happened in Florida.
No, that went well. What are you talking about?
Hanging chads my ass. So again, Jake Sullivan saying it's going to be a sham. And then you saw all these tweets popping up, social media following right lockstep with this. Look at this. All these blue checks on Twitter. To be clear, no sham referenda will change Europe's stance on Ukraine, its territorial integrity, nor will it change the fact that it was Russia that invaded sovereign Ukraine. Europe stands with Ukraine. Here's more. New York Post. Russia to hold sham referenda. I mean, they literally got these talking points right from the White House in the same phrasing. Here's another one. AFP news agency. U.S. denounces sham Russian plan.
At least
referendum.
That one's in quotes. So, you know, it's not them calling, you know.
Yeah.
That's a little better.
But this shit also trickled right over to Ukraine, where you have Zelensky's right-hand man this afternoon, Dmitry Kuleba, tweeted this. He said, sham referendums will not change anything. Neither will any hybrid mobilization. Russia has been and remains an aggressor, illegally occupying parts of Ukraine land. Ukraine has every right to liberate its territories, and it will keep liberating them, whatever Russia has to say. Sham referendums. Of course, this is the same guy who won't negotiate with Sergei Lavrov, his Russian counterpart, over peace agreements. They've been ignoring this, and he was confronted by this today, Dmitry, and he just walked away. Watch this.
Going to meet Minister Lavrov here?
No.
If he decides to meet with you, will you accept?
No.
No. Peace? No. No. I just walk away. I just walk away from that. So the area in question, this is, I think, the most important piece of this, and then we'll, you know, maybe talk a little bit more about the military piece. But if we put up this map here, this shows the region specifically. If you look where Crimea is there in the center, thanks to Intel Republic for this map, Lugansk People's Republic, Donetsk People's Republic, you see the Kherson region. And so these areas in blue are the areas that are going to be holding these referenda and voting to join the Russian Federation.
And you know what those areas have in common is that they're resource rich. A lot of the mining comes out of that area. It always has, until recently when Ukraine decided that it did not want to buy coal out of the Luhansk and Donetsk region for whatever reason. Right. And so without that region, Ukraine really loses a lot economically. A lot of, you know, the miners there, they send in their resources. They make very little money. A lot of the resources go into Kyiv. They don't get very much back by way of infrastructure or quality of life. Right.
Right.
That's one of the reasons that politicians in Ukraine have been holding so tight to this region. If it goes into Russia, which is by many accounts already resource rich, right? They don't want Russia to have control over this area that has a good amount of coal and other natural resources that are actively being mined in a dangerous way, I might say. I think the statistic is like four people die for every however thousand pounds of coal. Like, it's dangerous. This is a very contested region for a reason.
Right. I'd love to hear in our chat, Susanna Mack just made a nice comment. She said the people of the Donbass have been wanting this for 8 years.
Yeah, it's 4 lives per million tons of coal produced in that region.
So the people there have been wanting this for 8 years. I'd love to hear the people in our chat right now in our comments. We are live. Yes, we're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So please subscribe. You can chat with us if you're a subscriber. That's so we can slow it down a little bit. But just let us know in the comments right now. Do you think that this is a smart move by the People's Republics of Donetsk and Lugansk to declare their allegiance to the Russian Federation and join? Yes, no. What are your thoughts? Give some comments. I'd love to see that because I want to talk about the military side of this before we move on.
And will any Western powers acknowledge if it doesn't go
well?
Their
we do
way?
Know already that that's not going to happen. So this afternoon we heard from Jake Sullivan, right, David? That Jake Sullivan at the White House saying, absolutely, we will not. We will not recognize these regions ever. Okay. Ever. We will not recognize these regions ever. Okay. So again, that's what the United States, do they care? As long as they have security and peace, do the people of Donetsk, Lugansk, near the nuclear power plant, do they care if NATO recognizes them as Russian?
I don't think NATO has done them any favors so far, so I don't think they're going to hold out for that praise from Daddy.
No, and later this afternoon, actually, we heard from NATO, too. NATO chief says that Russian votes in Ukraine are further escalation of war. So that was this afternoon from NATO.
But then what reasonably does a politician expect them to do? Because by most accounts, the State Department and the United States knows that these regions are being shelled by Ukrainian army.
Of course they know.
They know this, right?
What they want them
to do is just take it, shut up, remain a part of Ukraine, keep getting persecuted.
Well, yes, it's to the last, to fight this war until the last Ukrainian. That's the point. That's what NATO wants, right? It's a puppet government. They want to use Ukraine as a proxy battlefield. That's why they're buying up so much land in Ukraine. That's why George Soros has invested so much. That's why, think about all of the farms that Americans and NATO and U.S. companies have bought in Ukraine. Come on, guys, like, wake up. This is a country that is literally being used by NATO to fight to the last Ukrainian. And now they're bringing these reserve forces from Kyiv to get on the trains and drive straight into battle where they're arguably going to be surrounded and destroyed in the next few days. So what will Putin announce tomorrow when he actually does give this speech? Will it be a recognition of these referenda votes, perhaps, or largely? And then will he also announce a major offensive militarily? Maybe not. He's going to announce something like that, but all the pieces are starting to come together. Earlier today, Putin met with his military industrial complex. Now, vastly different than the United States military industrial complex. This was earlier today. He sat down with the leaders of the Russian military industrial complex, and he said he wanted to thank them all for what they've been able to do on the battlefield. He says, basically, we've spent about $6 billion on weapons so far in this war. NATO, he says, has used up almost all of their reserve weapons, which is true. By the way, the Pentagon confirmed as much, did they not?
Yes.
They've used up all of their reserves. He said, so with our investment and your fantastic weapons, we've been able to basically destroy all of these NATO weapons. I want you to think about that for a second. They've spent $6 billion on their weapons for this war and building up their weapons stash for this war. Think about what the United States alone has spent sending to Ukraine.
Yes.
I mean, upwards of $80 billion at this point.
With another 15 on the way. That, when you just opposed the story we did in the newsletter this morning about how the Army is telling soldiers to use food stamps,
right,
because they can't buy the food legitimately outright. Well, it's legitimate. I didn't mean that word. I apologize. They can't buy food with the salary that they are given.
Right.
Right. Because they were only given I think it was between 2% and 3% raise last year. And next year, the proposal is only a little over 4%. Inflation is 8-9%. So we care a lot about the military, but not about military personnel. And that to me is shameful. These are the people who are risking their lives and they're now being told you can't even get a living wage. Sorry.
So the United States is expecting a major move by Putin in the next 24, 48 hours. Again, it's very interesting. If you're just joining us, the Russian president was set to give a speech tonight. We had that from multiple sources in Moscow on this, and then they delayed it. Then, of course, Western media jumped all over it and said that this is a sign of panic. And
it's a kind of funny move, right? Like, let your adversaries just freak out, and then you didn't even say anything, right?
It's kind of,
and then you're like, thanks. Now I know exactly where you're going to go with this. Now I'm going to say what I was going to say.
It's kind of like a, I don't know. It's kind of like a, hey, I'm going to speak when I want to speak move. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, hey, we got everyone riled up. You know what? We're not ready for it. We've got a few more things and moving pieces. I'm going to go to bed. We'll figure this out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or it is a shit show. Like, I'm just saying, we don't know, right? Unless anyone watching right now literally is in the inner circle of the Kremlin, we don't know. We can only go on the reports that we have from close Putin advisors who are saying it's been delayed. But you have to think something big is coming with all of these troop movements that are happening and these referenda votes and the concern from the White House today. So we will continue to follow this. Make sure that you're subscribed to the channel, please. Make sure you smash that like button. When you do that, it pushes us further out into the algorithm covering the stories that the mainstream media does not want you to see. We've got more news to get to. We are going to cover one of the biggest stories. This was really set to be our top story today. Until Putin decided to give a delayed speech. We're going to talk about these climate lockdowns. So get ready for lockdowns. They're already starting. I've been warning you about this for weeks on this show, have I not? It's going to be used as the new form of lockdown, climate lockdowns. Forget COVID. That's yesterday's news. Climate lockdowns are coming. So we're going to go through the details on that very, very troubling news on these climate lockdowns. We're also going to look about how there's a big censorship battle still unfolding, and there could have been actually a big win for free speechers out there like us. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to look at the blood clots, mysterious amount of blood clots showing up in bodies. As embalmers are looking at these bodies, they're noticing weird blood clots that they're having to pull out of these veins. Really, really troubling. And we're going to tell you why that is coming up.
Well, we're going to try.
Yeah. But first, let's talk about these climate lockdowns, shall we? So we've been warning you on this show for, I don't know, months now, that the next step for these globalists is to implement a climate lockdown. Forget COVID lockdowns, because you ain't seen nothing yet. The World Economic Forum and Bill Gates have been pushing this new mission. Coming soon, climate lockdowns, The Hill asks. The mission, of course, is to remove fossil fuels and meat from our diet. They plan to force automakers to do away with combustion engines, force companies to implement long-term work-from-home strategies, get as many people off the roads as possible, keep them at home, you know, Zoom calls, do as much as you can. The way Bill Gates paints the picture, those pesky lockdown, those COVID lockdowns were just the warm-up act. I mean, think about this for a second. He says they hardly move the needle for climate change, Bill Gates says. You know, think about how many people were home, how many flights were canceled, how many cars were not on the road, how many trains were halted as a result of it. He says that was peanuts. Don't get too excited about it. Here's Bill Gates. He actually pushed for this new lockdown on his website. He has a post called COVID-19 is awful. Climate change could be worse, he writes. And he says, and I'll save you from having to read the whole thing like I did. I'll give you some of the highlights. He says, sure, COVID was bad, but it was great for the environment.
It wasn't, though. In a study, 49 researchers used 12 models to run 300 simulations of COVID emission reduction. And here's what they found, that they could not detect any associated impact on temperature or rainfall. So it did, in fact, plummet emissions, but it did not actually result in an impact on temperature or rainfall.
So emissions went down, but it did nothing.
Emissions went down, but only for the duration of which people were in lockdowns. And then since, by some measure, like China increased emissions by 4% when lockdowns ended, although I know in some places lockdowns have not ended in China. But very few people would willingly reproduce what we went through in 2020, right? And right. So emissions actually went back up. But even during those times when researchers modeled that if we reproduced that behavior, it did not actually have any impact on temperature or rainfall.
I mean, someone says, Bill has one hell of a God complex. Someone else in the chat just asked, you know, why isn't Bill Gates in prison yet? Good question.
Well, he actually told, he did a whole long piece on 60 Minutes about how he loves the environment so much and he's so bullish to invest in things that will help save the planet. And when asked, well, do you not use a private jet? And he goes, no, no, I do, but I buy offsetting credits. So he's telling us that we need to go back to the anguish that we felt collectively during lockdowns, even though there is no proof yet that it actually worked not to reduce emissions. It did reduce emissions, but that in and of itself didn't actually impact temperature or rainfall. So then should we all just buy more credits? We could use all of his money. Buy all the credits, and then we can all do whatever the heck we want.
Right. It reminds me of plenary indulgences, right, in the Catholic Church back in the day. They don't have them anymore. I think it was, I don't know what year you could buy plenary indulgences, right? Catholics, let me know. But you could, basically, rich people could, you know, they could do sinful things, and then they just could buy things and get credits, basically, like carbon offset credits.
You could get
sin offset credits with the church. That's how it used to work. So back to this Bill Gates piece here, COVID-19 is awful. Climate change could be worse. And he writes, COVID was bad, but it was great for the environment, which Natalie just took the wind out of. He also writes, because poor and middle class people were locked down at home, we reduced our carbon emissions by just 8%. Bill Gates says that's nice, but that's not enough. He writes, he says, basically, we need to 10x. Our lockdown approach. The only way to do this, that 8% was nothing. We need a 10x it. Of course, it's not surprising then that shortly after that, Bill Gates started pushing these new climate lockdowns on globalists at the World Economic Forum, you know, his favorite buddies, and they started pushing them as well. They all got together. He crafted a book around this idea. Then it wasn't long, of course, before the International Energy Agency, not the Atomic Energy Agency, but the International Energy Agency got on board. The IEA was founded in the 1970s after a big oil spill, and the International Energy Agency demands worldwide lockdowns now to meet climate goals. They want us off of fossil fuels right now. They are demanding a climate lockdown to move us off of fossil fuels.
So if we just live in villages, right, mm-hmm. and just walk to the local store, like in Back to the Future 2.
Right.
Right, in these sort of like...
Back to the Future 2 or 3?
What's the one where they're in the Wild West?
That's 3.
Yeah, excuse me.
2 is in the future, when they go to the future.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying here. Okay, this reference may be dumb to many of you watching, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So we need to go back to sort of like... that type of village living.
Yes.
Is what they want.
We need to go Back to the Future 3.
Okay. But again, I'm going to point out that COVID lockdowns also reduce GDP. And when you reduce GDP, you increase poverty in the poorest regions, which results in lower quality of life for the poorest among us.
Right.
Right. And so what it seems to me is that these globalists don't want an increase in GDP. They don't want to elevate everybody's lifestyle. They don't want a more empowered population.
No, they don't. Of course they don't. They want, again, this is the plan, right? They want poor and middle class to be in total control, right?
Yeah.
Total control, and they led by a group of globalists. That's been the plan all along.
Think about it. They got rid of 200,000 small businesses that were competition for the big box stores. So now the big box stores, you know, they had the lower prices while they were competing with the mom and pops. But now that the mom and pops are all gone, they can charge whatever they want for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they control everything. They control the entire supply chain. And by the way, when they do these lockdowns, it's not about the rich people. It's not about the Targets and the Amazons and all of that. They get to skirt any kind of laws they want, right? It is the small hair shop. It's the small pet store. It's the small, mm-hmm. small restaurant that gets slammed, right? And gets run out of business. That's exactly what happens.
Well, this is something that's been, so this like This started in the 90s. I know I've brought this up on the show before, but it's been a sticking point with me for since the 90s, like the late 90s. And that's that when the environmental movement sort of like took off in the mid to late 90s, it was really about personal individual contribution. Like you had to recycle, you had to, you know, like not let the water run while you're brushing your teeth. But there's like, if you add up everything that individuals have done on an environmental scale, it's nothing compared to like a week of Nestle.
Yes.
Just right. Operating normally.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's like, but there's still, it's still our fault, but we can't, you know, like we have the least impact, but it's our fault. We have to do something.
Well, I mean, just look at the military.
Bitcoin mines too.
Look at the military. You know, that's the point, right? The military, and think about the carbon footprint of the military and what they do every afternoon, you know, and we couldn't even, as human beings, we couldn't even come close to what the United States military does if we want to like start calling it out, but we will never call it out. Right. Because they get an exemption. They're not a part of this plan at all. Like they, of course not. So they recently had a discussion after this Bill Gates, after this meeting, the International Energy Agency came together and started demanding these climate lockdowns and how to make this change. They recently held a discussion on climate change and how to accelerate this plan. Not surprising that they invited as their special guest one Bill Gates. And during this conference, Bill doubled down on doing something dramatic. Governments need to spend a lot of money, but we need way more than that. We need something dramatic, a world locked down. Listen to what he says.
As you just said.
Yeah, I thought that report was very important because, you know, the IEA does such a good job of, you know, tracking what's really going on with energy usage and then projecting out that unless something dramatic happens, both on policy and innovation, the amount of energy we'll be getting from hydrocarbons, even out in 2030, 2040, 2050, will still be very large. And so to have your group come out and say, well, to achieve these goals, you know, here's milestones.
Yeah, here's milestones, right? So we're going to follow these milestones. And if we don't meet them, we need to keep pushing for more and more lockdowns. Like these are the milestones we need to reach. And the only way we're going to do that is if everyone stays home. And by the way, their 10-point plan is amazing. Like don't go to work. Don't use cars on Sundays. Make sure that you stay in your local community. Don't leave outside of your local community. Don't own a car. You know, don't own a second car. If you have multiple people in your family, don't own a second car. Of course, I'm sure the rich people will comply with all of this. It'll just be the poor people that everyone will be in it on the same, right? We'll all be together on this.
Well, if Bill Gates, which if he's on par with the United Nations goal to cut emissions by 1.5%, here's some research from Bjorn Lundberg's book, False Alarm. He says, if we are going to do that, this 1.5% goal, right, we would need to cut emissions by 7.6% every year in the 2020s, right? So during the lockdowns, we hit about 4 to 6% reduction in carbon emissions. Now, I know many of you have have a problem with using carbon emissions as the metric, but the United Nations does, so let's just use it. Right. So in 2020, if we only hit 4.6%, we didn't get to that 7.6% that we would need to make any impact on temperature reduction. Not only that, we'd have to do it every year. So we failed in 2020. We have to go 7.6% lower in 2021. We didn't do that. We're not going to do it in 2022. So basically, they're saying that in 2020, it should have been worse. And we need to have twice as much of an impact in 2021 and 2022, right? So even the lockdowns we already went through were not good enough. We need to have voluntarily doubled their impact, which doubled. I guess meant ordering on Amazon, not ordering Uber Eats.
Well, right? Doubled is one thing. He's basically calling for 10x that. So forget doubling, because that really only gets us to 16% emissions reduction is based on Bill Gates' numbers, his math that he highlights in his study.
Yeah.
Right? So we really need 10x it to get there, to get close to 100% or even 90% reduction, right? That's what his plan is. By the way, so this speech that Bill Gates was invited to do, it was called a fireside chat. I just want to put this up on the screen. This was the actual name of their event. Bill Gates and a fireside chat. It's with Breakthrough Energy founder. So they called it a fireside chat. Does anyone else see the irony here? in labeling this a fireside chat?
Yes.
How exactly are you going to have fire without fossil fuels or wood?
Right. Or deforestation, right? Like, also,
we're going to gather up around the fire and have a little fireside chat with Bill Gates.
Maybe he has one of those computerized Yule logs behind him because he doesn't look like he's anywhere in a space.
It's a fake. It's a fake fire. It's just a fake fire with electricity. At least
they're not calling it Putin's climate crisis.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Oh, by the way, they did today.
Not calling it that yet.
Oh, geez.
In a roundabout way, we actually had I'll have it for you tomorrow in the newsletter, but an advisor for the EU said we need to keep sending weapons to Ukraine because that will lower our energy costs. Like, think about that logic for a second. She literally said that.
I don't understand that at all.
Well, you're with Putin.
Oh.
So climate activists are pushing for a total climate lockdown. Here's the mission now. You can read for yourself at climatelockdown.com. Yes, a website and mission called climatelockdown.com. Here's their website with the hashtag protest in place. You can go to their website and watch this little neat little animation here pop up. Kind of looks like I don't know what it does. And you can watch the website. You can scroll down, see protest in place, and they have a whole mantra here. So let's just read this. If you think the COVID-19 pandemic is bad, wait till you have see how climate change will hit us in the rear of the future if we do nothing now. Can you?
I think that says in the near future.
Can you take that full again? My eyes are so bad. Sorry. I was trying to read it from afar, and it's like hard for me to see it across here. So let's see here. Let's see. There we go. So if you think the COVID-19 pandemic is bad, wait until you see how climate change will hit us in the near future if we do nothing now. With more than half of the planet on lockdown, climate change protests across the globe have been canceled in the absence of collective action convincing policymakers of the continued need to work towards a sustainable future. Measures aimed at keeping carbon out of the atmosphere are being swiftly backed. So basically, we need to gather. We need a climate lockdown. We need a protest in place, sheltering in place. That's what we need to do as a form of protest, as a form of resistance. That's what we need to do.
Okay.
In Australia, they've gone even further. The new South Australian Labor government has declared a climate emergency. Climate lockdown, surveillance of your carbon footprint, and restrictions on how much fuel and meat you consume might sound like conspiracy theories, they write, but the stage is being set for them to appear in the near future. So they're going to be watching every move you make. And by the way, at the World Economic Forum, we talked about climate carbon emissions trackers that you will all wear. They will give you these climate emissions trackers, and you'll be able to know exactly what your footprint is, according to the World Economic Forum. How many of you watching right now would comply with that? Here, John, here's your carbon emissions tracker. Put it on you.
Okay. I mean, I also want it for the bombs that we're sending, you know, for the military bases around the world, mm-hmm. for the naval fleet that's going in and around Taiwan.
The jets by billionaires? Like, can we track that?
Sure. I'd love to know all of that, too, because my number will look pretty pitiful. In comparison, but whatever it goes on my forehead.
Also, at the end of the day, though, can we say like that these numbers are meaningless and they're bullshit, and the United Nations created these numbers to begin with, and they're totally arbitrary and not rooted in reality, as Bjorn Lomborg writes in his book. Like, and by the way, So I mean, we can talk about fossil fuels and why they are in many are, as Alex Epstein writes in his new book called Fossil Future. It is the future, actually. And to get rid of fossil fuels is the death of a society. If you remove fossil fuels, you're literally killing people as a result. We're watching it in real time happen right now in Europe. You're seeing people having to forage for wood. And then, oh, by the way, they're being told they're not allowed to burn wood now.
Yeah.
You know, they're being told they can't do that. So what are you going to do? Just freeze? Just put on an extra blankie? You know, what does it mean for our health? Don't forget what lockdowns actually have done to us. Lockdowns crushed poor people. They crush the middle class. Here's the gray zone writing, flattening the curve or flattening the global poor, how COVID lockdowns obliterate human rights and crush the most vulnerable people. Or what it meant for our health, right?
or our children. We do studies every week here on some kind of effect of lockdowns, which harmed children,
mm-hmm.
harmed, yes, all of these sort of collateral damage.
Yeah. I mean, this new study concludes lockdowns caused at least 170,000 excess deaths in the United States. The study conducted by the National Bureau of Economic Research found that there were conservatively 170,000 plus non-COVID excess deaths in the United States through 2020 and 2021.
And Dr. John Campbell just yesterday did a video on how in the UK these numbers are replicated. I think he said that they are 15% higher than previously reported.
That's not surprising at all. Because the numbers, by the way, well, the numbers have been conflated all along around COVID numbers. So again, now that we have these excess deaths, like what is going on here? Now we're going to start to see as these governments try to, they've been trying to hide this data for so long, the real numbers are going to start to come out and it's going to be absolutely troubling. In the UK, lockdowns and children, Natalie just talked about children. Look at this, deadly outbreak of children's hepatitis linked to the lockdown. Infants may not have been exposed to viruses because of restrictions during pandemic, says UK health chief. Hepatitis. Sure, that's nothing to worry about. And last week, we got our first glimpse of the climate lockdown policy in action in California. This is our first real, I think, example. Forget COVID lockdowns. What climate lockdowns look like in California. It's a playbook that, as the Federalist writes, is right out of the COVID playbook. COVID response playbook is coming to an energy crisis near you. Journalist Sean Fleetwood writes at the Federalist, says, and he says a few key things here. Quoting now, he says, while barely managing to keep the lights on, the energy crisis unwittingly exposed the nation's overdependence on unreliable green energy. Much like President Joe Biden, Newsom and California Democrats have all but declared war on the fossil fuel industry and have pushed the state's residents to adopt renewable sources of energy. He then goes on to say that Democrats are pushing the language of COVID. You're noticing this over and over again, that we all need to do our part. You're going to hear that a lot.
Yes, but so many of their state residents happily parroted all of their COVID lockdown rhetoric. Like, they basically did their job for them, calling each other a-holes if they wouldn't wear a mask or stay indoors or get their vaccine or whatever, right?
Right.
So they know it's effective because their constituents, they can say, if you love the planet, get an electric car, stay the heck home, don't eat meat. Eat these Beyond Burgers, right? And tell your neighbor that they're a bad person if they don't. And that worked in California.
Yeah.
People did that. They told each other they were bad people.
Right.
And policed each other. And like, so this is, if I were, if I wanted something from a state, I would do exactly this because that worked great.
So do they did that in the UK. They put up billboards. It's like, if you see something, say something. If
yeah.
you see somebody who's, you know, out partying and all that, like Boris Johnson, call someone, tell somebody.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
This kind of goes back to those like shock treatment therapies and stuff they did back in the old days. It's like it was almost always 25% of people would stand up against it and the 75% would comply. And it's
kind of
like
about the Stanley Milgram experiment to see if people would continue to administer shocks to another person. And how many people yeah. would? Yes, yeah.
So you know, it's like they know these percentages, and
they're watching people. They're like, they kept shocking their friends. They're like, yeah, they were getting pleasure out of it.
And the recipient was in on it. They were not actually getting shocked. And they would see how many people would continue to administer a really painful shock on the other subject. And when it really messed up these subjects because they were like, oh my God, I didn't think I was the kind of person who could hurt somebody. How could I have done that? And they used that to sort of say, why would people hurt other people in controlled settings, such as Nazi Germany or things like that? People think, well, if I'm in some kind of institutionalized setting, I assume that it's safe, that someone else has done the safety checks. I assume someone else is in charge and making adult decisions. So I just went along with it because I believed in some kind of higher power. Well, absolutely, David, you're right. This is at play here. People think, well, the government, you know, is making these decisions. They're doing the research. I give them my tax money. They must know better than me. So, okay, I will wear a mask and get the vaccine and tell my neighbors that they're a jerk if they don't.
So this language.
I was going to say, are you familiar with the Stanford prison experiments as well, where they they took a bunch of students, they split them into two groups, and one got to be prison guards and the other got
prisoners.
And right. It was like this whole thing scheduled out, and it was about 2 days before it got so out of control they had to like stop the whole experiment. Because just like the prison guards, the students that were prison guards had just become sadistic by that point.
Yes.
And these were just like regular students.
That's unbelievable. We showed you the IRS video where they're pretending to be fake IRS agents, like at college campuses, and armed fake IRS agents. They're like, get on the ground, get on the ground. You're like, my God, they're just college students going through like a little tutorial. Like they're not actually even armed agents yet. And they're pretending because they can play this role of like having this authority. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's why propaganda is so harsh. I mean, it works. It's why they keep doing it. If it did not work, they would not keep doing it. It's just like those, you know, Arabian Prince emails we get all the time. It's like, right. If they didn't work, they would stop doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this language is pretty strong. And the Democrats, he says in this piece, if we go back to the piece, the COVID response playbook coming to an energy crisis near you by Sean Fleetwood. And he says Democrats are pushing the language of COVID, that all we need to do is do our part. Stay home. Fight back. Do our part. You're going to see this language over and over again. Fleetwood says, quote, sound familiar? It should, because the same do your part rhetoric coming from California Democrats is the same language used by politicians and health bureaucrats all over the world around COVID lockdowns as justification for orchestrating the greatest assault on Americans' freedoms in modern history. And not just Americans, of course, all over the world, from Australia to the UK to everywhere, right? To Canada, you name it. Gavin Newsom. So the question, why is Gavin Newsom creating, but it's all because it's all part of the plan. This whole thing is part of the plan. And so you see it in action with Gavin Newsom in California. Why is he creating a water and energy disaster? It's a good question. Over the past months, Gavin Newsom has quietly been starving California of power and water. Newly unearthed documents, thanks to Michael Schellenberger, show that the Newsom sandbagged plans for extra nuclear reactors at the Diablo plant. Here are the plans. Notice 6 reactors instead of 2 reactors was set to be built. Could have provided millions more with electricity. Millions. Instead, they didn't. There were supposed to be 6, but it's all part of the World Economic Forum's plans, and Newsom is a big player in it. Here's Michael Schellenberger talking about this nuclear power plant.
I'm here at Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant on the central coast of California. Nuclear power, of course, produces zero air and water pollution. Diablo Canyon sits on 3 football fields, basically a tiny patch of land that provides power for 3 million Californians. The governor, Gavin Newsom of California, he wants to shut down Diablo Canyon by 2025. It was supposed to run until the middle part of the century. He wants to shut it down early, despite the fact that we're having electricity shortages right now as we speak. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, the governor approved the burning of diesel fuel, which is our dirtiest form of energy, because 2.5 million Californians faced blackouts from energy shortages.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, they'll take it, and they don't have to have these. They have the plans in place for the water plants, the desalinization plants. And so California has a man-made crisis right now of electricity, lack of water, all because of leaders. All because of leadership there. There's no reason why. They have plenty of plans in place. They could have done it, and they've been sandbagged time and time again. The desalinization plan, particularly by Newsom. So all part of the plan. Like, we can't pay for your electricity, can't power your cars, keep your cars off the road, stay home, let us take control, and just shut up and be compliant. That's the plan.
All right. Well, let us know if you're planning to follow that plan. We really enjoy your responses. This is terrifying.
It's coming. I'm telling you, these climate lockdowns are coming. So be prepared for it. Like, I know it sounds maybe kind of out there, but it's absolutely coming. You're seeing it in action already.
My sister and many of you in the comments as well have been sending us information about how there's legislation to even ask people to register their home gardens so that they know what it is you've got. Because they think that whatever you grow is theirs too. These are really troubling things to even consider. And maybe
are you guys going to do that? Will you guys register your gardens? Are you kidding me? Like, we're going to register your garden? Like, that's what they're going to do? I mean, we already saw what they.
I mean, when gardening becomes an act of civil disobedience, are you kidding me?
Yes.
Like, you know what? Screw you! I'm growing my own jalapenos. Like, really?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but there have been governments in the past, the Soviet Union was one of them, that practiced collectivism, where they did actually go out and see what people were self-sustaining and take it for the government, right? This has happened. There is historical precedence.
Oh, yeah.
For it.
For sure. I mean, yeah, there's a history of you grow this stuff and we'll just take it from you. You don't get to eat any of it. Absolutely the case. We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to look at the battle over censorship, a major win perhaps for free speech enthusiasts, people who like actually speaking freely. We'll talk about that. Also, why are all these blood clots happening and showing up in bodies around the world? Like, what is happening here? It's almost like something happened over the past year and a half that everyone did that wound up having blood clots. I don't know. Let us know your thoughts on that in the comments below. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Nugenix. If you're feeling like you just can't get in shape, if you're too tired or something like that, you know, it's just not your fault. You know, as men age, our body naturally loses free testosterone, the man hormone. That's why I was telling you, you know, it's Testosterone Tuesday here on the show. It happens to every man. And can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be energetic and active. So, if you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. So, Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. And it also has been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Every product professes quality. Many other products use generic ingredients that are often far less clinical grade. With Nugenix Total T, you get the same clinical potency levels used in the trials. And Nugenix formulation is backed by 10 years of science and research. That's why it's the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. When you go into that store, Nugenix Total T. Nugenix Total T can help re-energize your life and help you get back the powerful, confident, good-looking warrior that you used to be. And guess what? You're going to get, when you text this word, you're going to text the word redacted to 231-231. You get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text the word redacted to 231-231. Text right now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape fast. Absolutely free. Text redacted to 231-231. That's text redacted to 231-231. Disclaimer, messages and data rates may apply, so terms apply. Available at Nugenix.com/terms. So go check them out. We thank them for their support and supporting what we do here on Redacted.
All right, let's talk about social media, because now you can sue social media companies if you are saying things that they find controversial and they deplatform you. This came of a ruling recently in Texas. It is a big win for Republicans, who have been censored at an alarming rate when you compare to Democrats. We know that Republicans have been censored for, questioning pandemic response, mask requirements, lockdowns, pharmaceutical methods, right? We also know people who do not agree with liberals on gender.
I would even just call them conservatives. I wouldn't even say Republicans necessarily. I would just say a lot of conservative voices are.
Yeah, I don't like these sort of polarization of voices. It's people who question this dominant narrative, right?
Yeah.
So let's see, what else? Negative stories about Democrats are downranked. And negative stories about Republicans are upranked, such as Hunter Biden's story, right?
Right.
We know that if you talked about Hunter Biden, some people became deplatformed for that. We also know that social media has taken a side for global conflicts. So there's certain things that you can and cannot say about the war in Ukraine. I could go on, right? Yeah. We know this. These things have been censored. Well, now, Texas passed a law last year called HB 20. It allowed users to sue social media companies if they are censored. When the law was signed into place, social media companies were ready with the lawsuit. They filed it right away. And so since then, it has not gone into effect because they claimed that the law violated their First Amendment right. And a court sided with them and granted them an injunction. That means that they couldn't enforce the law while the lawsuit went forward. Texas asked the court for a stay, meaning leave the law in place while they litigated. And they lost that. They went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court vacated, meaning they didn't want to ring in on it. So this law has sort of been hanging in limbo ever since. Texas has had it on the books, but been unable to enforce it while it went through litigation until Friday. So now the law is in place. A judge ruled that HB 20 does not violate tech companies' First Amendment rights and that it can go into effect. Now, this ruling is pretty fun as far as legal opinions go. It starts off like this. In urging this such sweeping relief, the platforms and offer a rather odd inversion of the First Amendment. That amendment, of course, protects every person's right to the freedom of speech. But the platforms argue that buried somewhere in the person's enumerated right to free speech lies a corporation's unenumerated right to muzzle speech. What? So that's pretty funny, right? What is the judge saying is that your free speech does not give you the right to stop other people's free speech. So the tech companies were arguing that they want their platform to, I guess, be like a certain color. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
A certain tone. And that forcing them to have opinions that they don't like on that platform was violating their wishes to create a place that was monotone.
Right. So that YouTube could create, or Twitter could create, its own blue check liberal environment, like shit lib environment. Right. And then if I know so many people who were like true left, like, you know, who are progressive, who wanted universal health care, who were questioning, questioning this narrative, like, questioning Nancy Pelosi,
yes,
questioning President Biden on these issues, on a whole range of issues, right? If you spoke out again about that, you were deplatformed, you were blocked.
Yeah.
You were downranked, you were blocked. Same thing on Twitter, or same thing on YouTube, same thing on Facebook. And then, of course, on the conservative side, you know, same thing. If you questioned these things, you were also labeled like an enemy of the state. And so Twitter wanted to paint this sort of like blue check utopia. And it was like
now,
the Hillary Clinton Beltway, you know, liberals could
right.
hang out there.
And the question is this sort of like watering hole location that now this is where we go, where we gather? So there should be a right to both sides of an opinion, right? Where there's been litigation before, for instance, in a shopping mall where the owners said, do people have the right to come here and protest for a cause that I don't like if I'm the owner, right? And if it is a public place and people gather there, the courts have ruled that differing opinions should have the right to be in this public gathering spaces. The court here in this opinion said that the social media company's assertion of their right to muzzle speech is really troubling, and here's why. They say the implications of the platforms that they're arguing are staggering. On the platform's view, email providers, mobile phone companies, and banks could cancel the accounts of anyone who sends an email, makes a phone call, or spends money in support of a disfavored political party, candidate, or business. So you donate to someone they don't like, they deplatform you. No bank account even, right? Which is what happened in Canada.
Well, we've seen this already
yes.
with multiple people, like having their PayPals taken away, their Venmo accounts taken away, GoFundMe accounts shut down.
Twitter has taken down an account called, I don't even know if I can say it. It's called Gays Against...
Yeah, don't say it.
I'm not going to say this. It's against something that, okay. And they have recently been deplatformed on Venmo as well, and PayPal. And I think it's a pretty benevolent cause. I'm afraid to say it because we are on a platform that is...
Well, we've been censored multiple times on this platform, right? For covering COVID, covering the war. I mean, God knows, we have friends on this platform who've been deplatformed and blocked and taken down.
Yeah.
And we've had people who've lost their livelihoods. I mean, because they can't get access to their bank accounts now. If they were using PayPal for any, you know, thing or another, that's been blocked, that's been taken down.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Sunny in the chat said the word that I am not going to say. So if you're following along, it is that word. Furthermore, though, what the judges had a problem with here, if we can just put that screen back up. They said, what's worth the platforms argue that a business can acquire a dominant market position by holding itself out as open to everyone, as Twitter did in championing itself as the free speech wing of the free speech party, right? So they sort of unapologetically argued that they can now turn around And like they were once this cool open speech place, and now they can turn around and say, no, they can ban all pro LGBT speech for no other reason than its employees want to, right? So, you know, Twitter did in fact market itself this way, and then it was a bait and switch on that promise in their practice. So that's really interesting. It's not really fraud, but it feels like it to those of us who use it, because we thought it could be an open speech place.
But we saw the Project Veritas videos. We saw, you know, them admitting, like literally admitting what they do there, which is to block, shadow ban, hide accounts.
Yes.
So we all know this, right? We all know that this is the case. They all gather, you know, they're hanging out in San Francisco. Do you think that this is like a bastion of conservative thought in downtown San Francisco?
Clearly not.
Where they're telling, you know, they're banning people left and right because of what they believe and what they say.
Yes. HB 20 requires social media to disclose how they moderate content and promote content and publish an acceptable use policy. And they do not want to do this. And now they have to, at least if they're challenged in the state of Texas. Now, they want the right to just take down content they don't like for whatever reason and not have to answer to it. This has absolutely been our experience. When we are given any kind of strike on our content, we ask them to show us, what is it we said wrong? Can you please prove it to us? Can you say what line there violates what, you know,
policy?
We are never given those answers. They don't have to. They absolutely don't want to legally have to. And so
I would love this. This would be fantastic. I mean, we had literally a video that we did that they labeled it as a form of bad speech. I'm not going to say the H word. When we were covering the war, we were covering facts about the war. We were covering the truth, and that's how they labeled it. And when I asked them to give us particulars on it, they wouldn't. They said, we can't do that. We just don't do that. I'm like, well, we've watched the video now 5 or 6 times. We've had every member of our team watch the video. There's nothing even, according to your terms of service and your community guidelines, it's not there. I'm sorry, guys. It's not there. Show me why you blocked us for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Show me.
Otherwise, you're destined to repeat it. It's like, if you can't tell me what I did wrong, how can I fix it?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like talking to children, right? Like, how do you know? Like, if they keep doing this thing, right, they keep leaving their clothes on the floor, you explain to them why it's not good to leave your clothes on the floor. It makes more work for other people in the house to pick it up, or, you know, it's messy and you should take care of the things that you're bought, you know?
Right.
So then you improve upon that behavior. But if it was literally something that we said was inaccurate or wrong, we'd love to know about it in context, and then we can improve upon it, but you won't tell us. Now you'll have to.
Right. Another piece of their argument was that this law will prevent them from moderating dangerous content, such as violence, abuse, illegal things. HB 20 does not protect that content. And those things are pretty easy to distinguish. You can't incite violence on these platforms. You can't like show hurting of other people. That's pretty easy to rule out, and it's easy to enforce. And, you know, if I were like hurting animals on a YouTube channel or something, right, then I get that taken down. Am I really going to be then the one who's going to litigate about my right? Like, this is not
right.
This is uncontentious, right? Is this really a concern? So who can sue? Well, HB 20 applies to users who reside in, do business in, or share and receive expression in Texas. They cannot sue for monetary damages, which is strange, right? Because if you are deplatformed or downranked, you are losing money. But that's not what you are allowed to sue for at this stage of the game. They can only sue to get a court to declare that a violation has occurred and get the platform to comply with the law. But if someone sues and wins, they can get their legal fees paid for by the social media platform. You can't win a big payout. You can't win treble damages. You can't win punitive damages. Who's going to do this? I absolutely think there are wealthy conservatives in Texas who will want to do this, if for no other reason, to get a look at the communications that you see in a lawsuit around, why do you downrank this content? What is the internal conversation about why this content is downranked? What is the data that you use to decide that this content is not acceptable? We may see, like we're seeing in the lawsuits in Canada now, that they had none. That's just what they want.
Right.
Right. And so I do think that this will go places. We will see litigation. I absolutely am going to pop some popcorn for it.
There's going to be definitely, there's a bunch of big media companies, conservative media companies that are in Texas on purpose, right? To be there because of, they believe it's the, you know, it's one of the freest states, et cetera.
Yeah.
You have companies like the Daily Wire and others who are there. I would love to see them stir the pot and sue these guys and find out like what, like, you know.
Sure. I want to see what happens in discovery when they are asked to say, why did you downrank people who questioned these things, right? Or why this politician over this politician? You know, Florida does have a similar bill, SB 7072, that is currently being battled. It is not being enforced right now. It was also struck down in courts. This law, though, in Florida requires tech companies to give users a 7-day notice before they censor their content and provide a, quote, thorough rationale explaining the reason for any censorship. So Florida can, and I assume they will, use this ruling in Texas to fight their battle to put SB 7072 back in place. And we'll see where that goes. But this is by no means the end of this. The tech companies have signaled that they do have the appetite to take this all the way to the Supreme Court.
Well, and look, you know, Supreme Court usually sides with big business at the end of the day. And most cases that come before the Supreme Court are commerce-related bills. They are big business versus the little guy. And most of the time, the big businesses win. But we do have a conservative Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And this strikes right at the heart of conservatives, but also many people in the left and the far left. I believe the real left have been crushed by this. And so I think it'd be interesting to see, well, like, what this does in the Supreme Court. I would love to see this. Yeah. I will anxiously await with popcorn with you. Right. We've got more news to get to here on the show.
I wonder if we'll...
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, like, I wonder if we'll see, like, some kind of geo-blocking then coming through from some of the tech companies. Like, rather than mess with, like, any of the litigation in Texas, just if you have a Texas IP address, you can't access YouTube.
Oh.
Like, that's something they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they could absolutely do that. And then you'd have so many people jumping on and using, you know, like ExpressVPN or something else.
I'm curious about jurisdiction here, because when the Texas abortion ban went into place, it gave civilians the right to litigate on behalf of abortions that had nothing to do with them, right? And the first one came, I think, from Alabama. Hmm. So there are ways to get around that jurisdiction. It's over my head. I don't understand how, but I do think this will bleed through state lines.
Well, we do have more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about these blood clots and the mystery surrounding them and what doctors and undertakers are saying around the world. Some data we're going to show is absolutely stunning. We're going to talk about that. Plus, we'll take your super chats. So get any super chats you have in now. We'll try to do that here before we wrap up.
But first, you know, the holiday season is sneaking up on us. And of course, we all wish we had extra time before it hits. If you're a small business owner, you know how important it is to be ready for the insane holiday season. And if you haven't already started preparing for the chaos of holiday mailing and shipping, you might be falling behind, but you don't have to if you go to stamps.com. They have everything you need to make your life a whole lot easier. It is the 24/7 post office that you can access from anywhere. No lines, no traffic, no hassle. No post office person giving you a dirty look because you didn't bring your own tape, because you know they don't let you use a tape unless you use first class mail. So if you just have a box open and you want to use their tape, that's a no-go. Has that ever happened to you? I have.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes I'm like, this broke open. Can I use that? No, you have to go buy tape. Anyway, Stamps.com, again, is your one-stop shop for all your shipping and mailing needs. For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. And you get access to the USPS and UPS services you need to run your business right from your own computer. And with inflation on the rise, every dollar counts. Sorry, that didn't come out, that alliteration. Stamps.com is a stress-free solution for every small business. And if you need a package pickup, you can easily schedule it through Stamps.com on your dashboard. So go ahead and get ahead of the holiday chaos this year with Stamps.com today. Now, right now, you can sign up with the promo code REDACTED for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. Those things are super fun to play with and super useful as well. No long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, enter the code REDACTED.
Well, something strange has been happening over the last year or so. If you talk to any funeral director, they will tell you they are seeing things that they've never seen before. I mean, we featured some of them here on the show before, but like they're seeing strange looking blood clots. They're seeing all sorts of bizarre things. We'll have more on the strange looking blood clots in a second. They're working harder and longer than they've ever been working before. These undertakers, right? They've been on their feet. They've been seeing more cases than they've ever had in their 20, 30 year history as being an undertaker. Something else that they're seeing is a huge demand for tiny coffins. Huge demand for tiny coffins, child-sized caskets. That's right, coffins that will fit young people. These aren't people dying of COVID, though. It's something else entirely. Some funeral homes report that in their entire history of doing business, they have never seen so many young people dying. I wonder what they all have in common. This company that provides caskets to Costco. By the way, did you know that Costco has caskets?
No.
You can get caskets at Costco. I didn't realize that. You have everything else, but you can. Probably through their online store, but their orders are through the roof right now at Costco. This is one a casket manufacturer that sells to Costco. It says demand is up for child-sized caskets. He says, my family business is casket manufacturing in North America. We've received two bulk orders for sub 5 foot units, children's size, in less than 6 months. Never in 30 plus years of business have we ever sold child-sized coffins in bulk. The smaller size orders have never been so popular. I would like to mention that all casket sales are up dramatically in the last 2 years, Mark Haddock writes, or he says in this interview. He's a casket manufacturer that provides caskets to Costco. And something else, undertakers and embalmers around the world are busier than they've ever been. We've covered this on the show and show how busy they are. They've been in the United States specifically and in the UK. Here's Australia, for example. According to the Daily Mail, undertakers are busier there than ever. This week, this new story out this week, undertakers are run off their feet with abnormally high numbers of Australians dying, and not just because of COVID.
Right. Again, Dr. John Campbell has been covering this unrelated deaths that they call unexpected deaths. Is how we define it. It's things that, you know, normally the government and health professionals have a baseline of how many people they expect to die of things that are not along the normal curve of flu season or aging or things like that. You know, traffic accidents around the highway, around the holidays, that kind of thing. And those unexpected deaths trend a certain way. And we are now seeing them tracking up to 15% higher in most Western nations.
Unbelievable. Someone in our chat just said, ask how a florist is doing lately. This woman in our chat says she was a florist. And yes, we do know that. We covered that story a couple of months ago here on the show. Florists are providing wreaths like never before for funerals. They've had just an incredible uptick in that. So these things go hand in hand. Again, what could it be? What could be causing all of this? Turns out that so-called COVID deaths weren't really that at all. John O'Looney, UK funeral director, actually saw a decline in deaths in 2020. Fewer deaths in 2020 than even in 2019. But then at the start of 2020, Big Pharma rolled out some kind of big answer and the pandemic, and then everything changed. Here is UK funeral director John O'Looney. Listen.
November, December came and went. We were doing funerals. It wasn't busy. In fact, even despite the great effort they made in care homes to bump the numbers up, overall 2020 was quieter than 2019 for death rate. And the vast majority of funerals we do in the UK are cremation funerals. I would estimate around 95% of them are cremations, and the odd 5% would be burials. We weren't up on numbers, and it was the same everywhere. The statistics don't lie. They're there, government statistics that show there was no real increase. And it kind of got to the point where I said to a few people, I began to smell a rat. We weren't being told the truth. And I said to people, I bet the death rate soars in January when they begin vaccinating, and everybody laughed at me. They said, no, don't be so stupid, you're mad. And we came back to work on the 2nd, and on the 6th they began vaccinating, and the death rate was extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it as a funeral director in 15 years, and neither has anyone else that I've spoken to. And it began exactly when they began putting needles in arms.
Okay.
And there's something else. Thousands of cases of myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart. We've known about these problems, and of course, so did the CDC. They reported them. Here's a report on myocarditis or on members of the military specifically, which the CDC was well aware of. And specifically, we knew the adverse effects on soldiers back in 2021. Listen.
From January through the end of April, the military administered 2.8 million doses of the vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. A new study describes how 23 service members later developed chest pain and sought medical attention. Tests showed it was myocarditis.
Myocarditis is an inflammation of the heart muscle. And typically, this is seen in response to an infection.
Dr. Christian Ramers is with Family Health Centers of San Diego.
There's like 15 or 20 common offenders. Things like chickenpox can do it. Things like enteroviruses that cause infections in kids can do it.
Last week, the CDC said there was a likely link between a few hundred cases of heart inflammation and the vaccines. And the military study adds more evidence. They found all 23 cases were in men. All happened within 4 days of vaccination, and most happened after the second dose. When the researchers broke down the numbers after the second dose, they say they'd expect to find between 0 and 8 cases of myocarditis from other causes. Instead, they found 19.
Thousands of cases of this, right? It's gotten so bad now that they're actually doing damage control on this. Watch your screen, because this is a brand new television advertisement which basically says myocarditis, don't worry about it. It's totally fine. This is an ad. Watch this.
I've been into fashion since I can remember. But one day, I had a stomach ache so bad, I didn't want to do anything. The team at New York Presbyterian said it was actually my heart. It was severely swollen. Something called myocarditis. But doctors gave me medicines and used machines to control my heartbeat. They saved me. So now I can become the next great fashion designer.
So, I mean, have you ever seen, like, they're literally putting out ads now to normalize myocarditis? Like, you've got an inflamed heart. Don't worry about it. Like, you can still be great. It doesn't really matter. Like, someone spent money on an advertising campaign for this.
I saw an article and I was like, okay, when I saw this article, I was like, I knew at some point they were going to try to spin this a different way. And it said that it was actually COVID that was causing myocarditis. But then that got pulled back and I've not seen any more information about that, because I think there's too much data for them to try to push that narrative at this point.
Yeah.
Nice try, though.
Well, the CDC director, Walensky, was on MSNBC and was kind of grilled and pressed on this particular issue. Let's just watch a little bit of this. Watch.
What makes this booster significantly different than our first round of booster shots? Is there evidence it supplies significantly more protection?
Yeah, this is a really important question. For the first time now, we have a shot that actually targets exactly the variants that we have circulating right now. So about 88% of our variants are BA5, about 11% BA4. And right now, this updated shot is half the original strain and half that BA4, BA5 strain. What's targeted to that BA4, BA5 strain? The laboratory data suggests that this updated vaccine will perform better against the circulating strains we have right now, that it will perform better against other circulating variants that may come, and that it won't sacrifice anything in terms of protection of the original strain. So we're in a much better place with this updated booster right now.
Dr. Paul Offit, an infectious disease and vaccine expert at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, he's also a member of the FDA Advisory Committee, has been critical of this updated booster. He says that a healthy young person really is unlikely to even benefit from a booster dose. It should be targeted more specifically to those who really are most likely to benefit. And I wonder if you agree with that assessment and whether just even saying that adds to what's been, as you know, an ongoing criticism of CDC messaging, that COVID vaccines, COVID itself, the messaging has been confusing.
So first, deep respect to Dr. Offit. Here's what I will say about our updated vaccine. We are simplifying our message. The message is you need to get your fall booster vaccine. So go ahead and get it. If you're over the age of 12, if you've received your primary series, if you're more than 2 months out of your last shot, you can get an updated vaccine. And so,
how condescending for a CDC director when asked whether a booster, which hasn't gone through clinical trials and is benefiting healthy, or, you know, is a benefit to healthy young people, from a doctor on the FDA advisory board, she just brushes it off.
Yeah.
You know, we have our new messaging. It's called get the shot. Like, we're not even going to bother with all of like the technical mumbo jumbo. We have a new message for the fall. It's called, you know,
how long ago was that?
I'm loving it. Yeah. Just go get the shot. This was literally this week. Just go get the shot.
You're kidding.
No, I think it was yesterday. Just go get the shot.
Oh my gosh.
For the fall. Like, we have a new fall message. Just go get the shot.
But the pandemic's over.
The pandemic's over, but they didn't get that message from the White House. Mm-hmm. This violates the idea of informed consent, does it not? Right? And also the idea of any risk-benefit analysis that might come from, you know, hey, any discussion at all? Like, this person's a really healthy 12-year-old, 11-year-old, whatever. Like, should they get it? Just get the shot. Just shut up and get the shot. Meanwhile, the United Kingdom's Health Security Agency putting an end to COVID-19 vaccinations for young, healthy children ages 5 to 11 years old. They're saying no more. Any child who turns 5 after August 2022 can no longer receive a COVID vaccine until they're 12, unless they are clinically vulnerable. You're not allowed to. It's illegal. You have to get special permission to even get it. That's the UK, not in the United States.
Yeah.
But something else is going on. Something else is showing up inside of these bodies when they go to do autopsies. Embalmers around the world are finding strange-looking blood clots that they've never seen before.
That's a gross image.
Here's what one looks like. Take a look at this.
I warned you.
One Alabama embalmer named Richard Hirschman started documenting what he was finding when he would start embalming process. He'd been doing this for 20-plus years. He's never seen anything like this. He thought it was just one instance. It was odd. He started taking pictures of it, and then it started showing up over and over and over again. He says, quote, "It wasn't until May or June of last year that I started to say something is really different about the blood. And then later in September, I took my first picture. Since I couldn't come out with just one piece of evidence, because if it was just a fluke, Hirschman said, now I've been gathering evidence and I have pictures of over 100 cases, and it's not stopping. It's not slowing down." Okay, that's just one embalmer who's seen over 100 different cases of these blood clots. Maybe it's just an anomaly. Maybe it's just Alabama. Well, it's not. As we reported on the show, Israeli authorities were well aware of the risk of the AstraZeneca vaccine, the blood clotting from that. And AstraZeneca is not allowed in the United States. The FDA also warned against, of course, getting the J&J vaccine after the clotting risks. FDA restricts J&J's COVID vaccine because of blood clot risk. And of course, now it's no longer available and gone. And conditions around the heart and heart inflammation as well. So all this to say, it's just the fall, you know, just go get the shot. That's our new messaging around here on Redacted. You know, it's what other like catchy little slogans can we come up? Just do it. It's the fall. Just go and get your shot.
No, that's taken by Nike.
Oh, we can't say that. Okay. Do whatever you, yeah. I can't think of anything.
A hokey pokey. You do. You like that one?
Go get your hokey pokey shot. Watch more propaganda television.
And you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
I just can't get over this ad. I can't get over that they're spending money on propaganda ads, letting you know that it's okay to have an inflamed heart. That, like, New York Presbyterians, like, yeah, it's fine. Look, just be, you know, I know you got this.
But let's not sort of lose that's a pharmaceutical solution to a pharmaceutical created problem.
Right, of course.
Don't worry about it.
You will take these things and you will be compliant and we will track you and watch you, and that's all fine.
We got the solution to the problem we may have created.
Unbelievable.
Well, and I just if you want to go down a rabbit hole, go to Rumble, because you can't find it anywhere else, and look at men's soccer players and myocarditis.
Yeah.
And, you know, that whole thing, because that is a very interesting story, to say the least.
Yeah, Kit Clarenberg, writing at the Gray Zone, has been doing some great reporting on that specifically, and you can follow. Kit has been a guest here on the show, but follow him on Twitter, and you can see about that, because it's not. Yeah, how are these like healthy soccer players suddenly having this issue? Follow that Unbelievable. We're going to take your super chats in just a second. So please get your super chats in. Any questions you have here, we'd love to try to fire them up. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Indeed, because your business is your dream. You want people to share it, and you have the skills to help it grow. Find them faster with Indeed. So what I love about Indeed is it's the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through their time-saving tools like Indeed's Instant Match assessments and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of the employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed data. One of the things I love about Indeed is it makes hiring all in one place so easy. Because, again, when you have that instant match, you get a whole list of candidates that you can then, you don't have to weed through all of these different resumes and take your, you know, you, it's right there in front of you. And frankly, you just don't have time to deal with all that. So it's right there in front of you to make an easy decision. Indeed helps star applicants shine with over 135 assessment tests from cooking to coding. Indeed assessments help take the stress out of the interview process. Your candidates get to prove themselves before the interview so that, and you can even dive deeper. I mean, you can, you know, before the interview, you can actually spend more time talking about what's important to you rather than just wasting time with meaningless conversations when you're actually talking to an employer. Indeed assessments, you can select from the skills that matter to you most. Where they have 100 different hard and soft skills tests to post on your candidates right there. So you can follow all of that. It's unbelievably powerful. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. So start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posting at Indeed.com/redacted. Offer is good for a limited time, so you can claim your $75 credit now by going to Indeed.com/redacted. That's Indeed.com/redacted. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. All right, let's take some super chats now from folks. If we have any super chats. Is David there?
We have some.
Grab the... David was there just like a bit ago.
Like 5 seconds ago.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. That was my bad. I said, yeah, we do. I was like, why are they ignoring me?
I was about to grab the mouse.
Chris Bao, Putin's pre-recorded speech will be broadcast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock Moscow time.
Okay.
Leo Titian, if Clayton is wearing cool office shirt, shake my T, I don't know what SMTH is, shake my something head, is really going on in the world, adding sunglasses will increase drama effect. What terrifies you the most from the latest news team? Redacted.
Okay.
Just that I'm wearing a button-down shirt. It was a new shirt. It's almost fall, and I thought it'd be nice to, you know, to wear a, you know.
Yeah, you look nice. I noticed it. I like
that. Yeah, I thought so too. Mikkel Larsen, love the show, guys. You hit the airways 2200 in Denmark, and it has become a daily routine for me to watch your show. Keep up. Love you guys.
Oh,
peace.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Thank you for letting us be a part of your nighttime routine.
Oppenheimer Ranch Project, boom. Raymaker, wake up, normies. The same elite we are fighting in the West are the same ones supporting Ukraine and pushing for a war. No more. Peace will prevail.
I hope so.
White Lightning 777. Any where you vote for people can be rigged, and most in Eastern Europe are exactly that. The size of Russia's economy versus USA and NATO disfavors Russia. Economies win wars, not elections.
Okay.
Ronald Jarvis, enough is enough. Hans Storybo, Bill Gates is the one that should be locked away. And then we got Bart Van Bos and Simon Lai with super stickers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hans, during COVID lockdown, the CO2 kept rising on Momoa, even with near to none flights in the air.
Okay. That's interesting.
Ian, Americans, in my view, are rapidly reaching the breaking point with this government and world elitist. What's the first step for change?
The first step.
Throw them out. And don't let them have power. I mean, you know, if we have strong governments, you're seeing some of the sovereignty and strength in certain countries that are saying no. I mean, like in Brazil and other countries that are standing up. You have certain African nations that are standing up to the WHO, the WEF, and saying, no, we don't want this. We're going to vote against this. We're not going to give power over to these globalists, these unelected globalists. So I think it honestly starts at the ballot box. It starts with, you know, revolutions in these countries.
Well, I just had a conversation on, I went on a date last night. I had this conversation talking about, you know, it's social media, I believe, is the first step. Like, their propaganda falls apart because we have people that can be out here verifying things now. They tried to discredit them, so they've been trying to censor social media. And it's all about money, and so that hasn't been working, and they're probably not going to get away with doing that. So now, that's why they're going to start focusing on space. Because they have, we can't verify that. We can't send people up to the moon to verify there's aliens, you know. So it's like they've got to find this way to be able to still make money. So, but I feel like social media has helped really, you know, make them so they have lost a lot of power.
Yeah, was that a fun conversation to have on a date?
It was, and she brought it up. It was funny because she actually watches the show and.
Oh. Hello, David State.
Yeah. Strange universe. Lower the temperature. Seriously, do some research. Please understand how stupid all this CO2 garbage is. No, we don't all agree. It's a problem.
I understand that. And so that's why I wanted to talk about that as a metric that the UN is using, right? Because I'm not saying that that is necessarily something. So thank you for that. Thank you for clarifying that. I agree.
Right. It's kind of funny when you think about, like, this is the measurement that they're all using. But if we ever stopped and just said, wait a second, is the measurement wrong? Like, is the tool that you're using totally wrong? Like, why are we using that as the tool?
Right.
Carbon emissions. And then we buy carbon offset credits. Has anyone stopped and asked the question, like, wait a minute, maybe those things are fake. It's a fake tool and it's a fake system. And we should really question the whole thing. But you have ESG companies and all of this stuff that fall right in lockstep with it, right?
Yeah, and they don't have groundwater mining like credits that you can buy. You know, like where's the groundwater mining like offsets?
Yeah.
Why doesn't that exist?
Yeah. Why don't they give a bunch of them to Detroit? Like,
right. Did you know that private wells in the United States are not regulated? So they just keep tapping into them. They don't count them. They don't keep track of them. There's no regulation for most of them. So, you know, and then we're all surprised. Why is the groundwater drying up? It's because there's really just no accounting for it. And then, you know, like if there's business there to build a water park or what have you, or if it's more, you know, if it lowers costs to flood farm instead of drip farm, just do it. Just do that. Who cares?
Otto Calva with a super sticker. Thank you. Napweed. None of this would be possible without working class traders willing to join the military and police to enforce the elite's crap.
Yes.
Shoemaker Hollow. So that's it. Patricia, DHS has a Facebook post with a phone number saying, see something, say something. Germany 2.0.
Oh, geez. Mm. Okay.
Neo chats, I will do what I want, when I want, how I want, and nobody, and I mean nobody, will tell me what to do, will not comply.
All right. Unless you come to my house, then you have to do your chores. I will make you do that.
Joe Westcott, great work, guys. Keep going. And then Katie Andrews and Lisa Ann with super stickers. James Bond sent a super chat.
Oh, thank you
guys. Very slick, very intelligent, very educated and educational. Great work. Very appreciated. Vote independent.
Oh, we appreciate you that much. Thank you. And if you come to my house, you can be a guest. You don't have to do chores.
And then Riverside Homestead Life, what you think will happen September 24th? Buzz, something will happen. Other dates have been mentioned, 25, 26, German leadership, a day everyone will remember.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about this?
I just be careful about that. I don't know.
Because we saw some
things
that were deplatformed on TikTok. And so we plan to be here on
the 26th. We're talking about that date?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So
I know. You just get deplatformed for everything. That's why we were stopping David from reading that, because we'll lose our channel for stuff like that. You know, like that's what happens. Yeah. So we.
Well, that's crazy. I didn't even realize what it was. Like, I was trying to figure out what that was. Those the shortened the hyphenation or whatever, and I was like, oh wait, stop.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's it. That's all the super chats.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel. We have our newsletter that'll be published first thing in the morning. So please subscribe. If you go to redacted.inc, roll that video. Here's what it looks like. You go to redacted.
I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It got moved when we were moving things around at the last minute. So it's not. Okay. That's why I didn't play it earlier too.
So if you go to redacted.inc, let me show you what it looks like here. Hold on one second. Okay, here's what it looks like. You go to our website, you just click on this. You click on the subscribe button right here. Click on this right there. Boom. And then you'll just add your email, and you'll get our welcome newsletter first thing in the morning. It'll be delivered to your inbox. And and there you go. So redacted.inc. That's what we do. So thank you so much. Someone said sellouts because we don't want to lose our deplatform. See, the thing is, like, we can reach so many more people and provide the truth on this channel by having this channel. Like, we're on Rumble, and we're proud of our Rumble partners, but let's be honest, like, we are able to reach so many people here. I mean, 174,000 people watched tonight's show.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people who get to see the truth, right? And there's, like, certain things within their freaking community guidelines that will get us in trouble, and it's unfortunate. You
Look,
know?
We're playing by the rules. You're here. You're playing by the rules. So, you know.
So I literally could do a show where I just swear every other word and I would lose the show. You know, they would just shut us down. Like, what's the point of that? You know?
Actually, someone earlier in the chat said, I'm so glad Clayton was kicked off of mainstream media because I like this show so much better. That's not true. Clayton quit.
Yeah, I left. Media. I left mainstream.
He was
media.
Not kicked off.
No, I was not kicked off. They did a whole big farewell for me. In fact, they asked me not to go, and they asked me if I wanted my own show, separate from the show that I used to do. And I said, no, thank you. And so it was my choice to leave. Thank you very much.
But I'm glad you like it here better.
If you do want the kind of content that you can't get here on YouTube, then go over to redacted.inc and become a member to the locals community, because there we can say whatever we want.
Indeed. Yes, that's right.
All right, everybody. We'll see you here tomorrow. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday.
Bye, everyone.